Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, having described some of the evidences of a faulty spirituality, a counterfeit Christianity, Pastor James, in chapter 3 of his epistle, gives us, toward the end of the epistle, some of the characteristics of true spirituality, and therefore helps us to recognize and develop genuine, godly maturity. The final two verses of James chapter 3 say, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." Period. End of chapter, as it is divided in our Bibles, but of course you know the chapter and verse divisions were not found in the original manuscripts. So, genuine spirituality looks like this, as opposed to counterfeit spirituality, which looks like that, and he'd given us that previously, you recall, with its self-seeking, its self-promotion, its boasting attitudes and actions, its carelessness with regard to the truth of God's Word, and even undermining and opposing the Word of God at many points. So there are some pretty helpful measurements by which we can measure first ourselves and then secondly others, particularly those teachers and Christian organizations which come to us claiming to represent biblical Christianity and endeavoring to get entrance into our lives and even to assume us into their organization, into their group, to become followers of what they are and what they teach. And so it's very important that we know how to analyze genuine Christian spirituality as opposed to counterfeit man-made Christianity. So we will try to finish up chapter 3 today if we can get that far. Thank you for joining me on this Thursday, June 28th. And I know you are mindful that we depend upon the gifts of our radio listeners to remain on this station. Well, as James has told us in verse 17, the wisdom that is from above, that is true godly wisdom, true heaven-sent Christian religion, is, and he tells us what its characteristics are. Pure, that has to do with holiness of life. Peaceable, in our attitudes and actions toward others. Gentle, willing to yield, that is, willing to listen, willing to accept admonition, approachable, without hypocrisy, free from pretense, genuine. And it acts in this fashion. It is full of mercy, full of good fruits, without partiality. All of these things characterize godly, genuine Christianity. And he wraps all that up in verse 18 by saying, "Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. That probably was a common first century proverb. Just the way it's put together, the way it's the form that it comes to us, makes us think that this is probably one of those common statements that were made among Christians in this early first century time. And like many proverbs, there are some, what should I say, some areas that of the statement which could be understood one way or understood another way. In other words, it is slightly ambiguous. When it says, "Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." Fruit which is righteousness, is that what it is saying? Fruit that is produced by righteousness, or is it talking about a harvest of righteousness, a harvest of personal righteousness, a harvest of corporate righteousness within churches? The fruit of righteousness. Again, is that the fruit which is righteousness? The fruit that is produced by righteousness? Or is this the fruit that is harvested by those who practice righteousness? Well, there's really, though it is not clear which exactly is meant by the statement, there's really a great deal of room for both of these concepts, and they do blend together. They're not so totally separated and so totally opposite that you are looking at something that could be considered a contradiction. Not at all. It's not that. It's just a slight ambiguity here. We're left wondering exactly and precisely what James is saying, but either way it goes, it is reinforcing truth that is taught elsewhere in Scripture. So it's not a problem in that regard. But whatever the exact meaning, with its slight ambiguity here, the basic meaning is not in doubt. And it is this: that peaceful, righteous, active Christians produce a harvest of peace and righteousness. Peaceful, righteous, active Christians produce a harvest of peace and righteousness. In other words, righteous fruit is not produced in a climate of dissension and turmoil and confusion, which is exactly why Satan works so hard to create dissension and confusion and bickering and arguing in churches and among Christians and in our personal relationships and in the homes of Christians and so forth. He works very hard to do that. Why? Because he is trying to disturb the harvest that should come and will come from the lives of genuine Christians as they are pursuing biblical Christianity. We recognize that there is more trouble and dissension in most churches than there ought to be. Ideally, there ought to be none, except, I have to put a big exception in here, there ought to be none except when someone is trying to bring in false doctrine that ought to be opposed. And of course, that is going to create some dissension, particularly if those who are bringing it in are unwilling to acknowledge their error, admit, repent, and yield to the truth of the Bible. So there are times when confrontation, dispute, dissension is not wrong and is not ungodly. It is actually necessary. That's why when we're talking about Jesus Christ, who was incredibly meek and mild and gentle and kind and dealing with almost all kinds of people in almost all kinds of situations, was exceedingly strong, harsh, confrontational when it came to certain situations, particularly when it came to those who were corrupting the Bible. The Pharisees and their hypocrisy, who had taken the Old Testament scriptures and had mingled the scripture with human tradition and presented that mixture as if that were the Word of God, Jesus was exceedingly harsh in confronting them, denouncing them, exposing them. Or, as for example, in the temple, when he drove the money changers out of the temple. What was that? Another form of the corruption of God's revelation. God had given instructions as to how people were to worship him in the temple. And even though Christ is about to change all that, when he died upon the cross, then the veil in the temple was rent asunder. The way into the Holy of Holies was freely open to all who desired to come. There was no more barrier. Temple worship, as it had been known since the days of Moses, was now forever gone. But nevertheless, Christ drove the money changers out of the temple because they were corrupting the worship of God and the practices of the temple worship as they had been given by God. He was exceedingly, exceedingly strong in his opposition. He didn't mind creating dissension in that area. But when it comes to normal relationships and decisions and operations and actions in churches that don't involve doctrinal matters, theological matters, don't involve the basic truth of the Christian religion, there shouldn't be so much dissension. When that's there, then carnality is at work. Because when Christians are genuine Christians and are living and acting the way the Bible teaches us to act, what are they going to produce? Peace, righteousness, and we produce peace and righteousness by ourselves living righteous lives and by sowing righteousness in peace around us. And therefore, genuine spirituality will produce a rich harvest of righteousness over a period of time. Now, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Genuine Christianity ought to be characterized by peace and righteousness, and don't overlook either side of that. Righteousness takes us back to the purity that starts it all out. It's first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. First pure, that is first righteous, that is first godly, righteous as defined by the Bible, what God says is righteousness. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. There are people who call themselves Christians who have great emphasis upon peace. They're against war, particularly any foreign wars that the United States might be involved in. They think that's a terrible thing, and they want to eliminate all of that. Oh, they're very strong in their cries for peace, but not too interested in living lives of righteousness as defined by the Bible. But they go together. If it's true spirituality, they go together. Yes, we as Christians ought to be peaceful people and ought to be spreading peace to others. We ought to be peacemakers. And we do that by living godly, righteous lives. By being pure. By seeking God's forgiveness when we sin. And by pursuing a path of purity. And then by being peaceable, by seeking peaceful relationships with others and endeavoring to be a peacemaker on behalf of others, and to do that patiently. The harvest of peace and righteousness takes time. But if we do this patiently over a period of time, this is what will result. What a wonderful thing. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.